Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Today is part two of our four-part series on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Here's what we learned last time, part one. The preceding events, what happens before Christ returns, false prophets will appear, they're here. The gospel will be preached to all the nations. We might be getting close on that. Number three, there'll be a large conversion of Jews. Number four, the Antichrist appears first. People will worship him. He'll compel submission, but Christ destroys the Antichrist at the second coming of Christ. Today, let's talk about how will Jesus return and the resurrection of the dead. So let's pray before we begin. Father, we pray as we look forward to the great day when you come to earth to set everything right. Holy Spirit, come and teach us what the Word teaches regarding when and how that will all happen. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what will happen at the second coming of Christ? Number one, Christ's return will be public. Jesus says, if they say to you, look, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to be very public. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. Stars will fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. In other words, the second coming of Christ will be no secret. It'll be very public. For instance, here's my globe here. I don't know how this is going to work. How is Jesus going to return in the clouds for everybody to see him at the same time? Because here we are in America, we have one skyline. The people in China have a different skyline. So how Jesus will return for everyone to see him, I don't know. But God created the world. This is no big deal for him. He can pull it off. I remember an eighth grader saying to me in confirmation class, Pastor Brock, when Jesus comes back for the second time, where will he be born? And I had to explain, Jesus is not going to be born on earth again, or in Bethlehem or Toledo, Ohio. When the second coming happens, he's publicly coming down in the clouds for everybody to see as the Lord of the universe. Second thing I want to say about the return of Christ, Christ's return will be personal. He's personally returning. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, he ascends into heaven, and the disciples watch him go up into heaven like, and the angels say, men of Galilee, why do you stand here staring up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you will return in the same way as you saw him go. So Christ himself is returning. It says this also in 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. So Jesus is not sending a prophet or an ambassador. Jesus himself returns at the second coming. Next thing to say about the second coming, Christ's return will be powerful. The first coming of Christ was humble, gentle, silent night, holy night, born in a manger. Second coming is Jesus is returning in power, glory, as the Lord of the universe. One more thing to say about how Christ returns, and this is repeated a number of times in the New Testament, Christ's return will be unexpected. Says this in Matthew 24, Jesus said, therefore ye must be ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour that ye think not. There was a preacher back in the 1800s by the name of Robert McShane, and one day he said to a group of his friends, do you think the second coming is near? And one by one they said, I think not, I think not, I think not. And Shane looked at them and said, the Son of Man cometh at an hour that ye think not. You know, it is dumb to predict the day of the second coming because Jesus said no one knows. But it's always smart to live like it's right around the corner. All right, so Jesus comes down publicly, powerfully, personally, unexpectedly. And then what happens? What happens when Jesus descends in the clouds? The answer is the resurrection of the dead. The dead are raised. And for the rest of the sermon, let's look at the resurrection of the dead. If you would, take out your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, where the Apostle Paul is explaining to the Corinthian Christians how the dead will rise. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 35. Paul the Apostle writes, "But someone will ask, how are the dead raised, and with what kind of body do they come? You fool." Here's the first lesson about the resurrection of the dead. People who deny the resurrection are fools. And you hear this sometimes. Well, if your body has totally been disintegrated in the grave, how on earth can that be raised from the dead? Well, one scholar said this, "Why would anyone who acknowledges a creator God think his restoring bodies would be any more difficult for him than making them in the first place?" And the Apostle Paul says to King Agrippa in Acts 26, "Why is it considered incredible among you people that God raises the dead? I mean, if he made them, he can put them back together. That's no big deal for God." And the Bible says, if you deny that God can do that, you're a fool. You've maybe heard of the atheist Madeleine Murray O'Hare. In the 1960s, she went to the Supreme Court and got school prayer banned throughout the United States. In the 1970s, I was in college, and I went to the University of Texas in Austin for a while. Her atheist ministry was located in Austin, and I was in a big dorm, and I remember the posters being up, "Madeleine Murray O'Hare to speak tonight in the cafeteria." So I went. And a large crowd of students crammed into this big cafeteria. And she gets in front and she says, "Oh, big crowd, I see you've come to see, does she have horns?" And then she used obscene language about the Holy Spirit. I mean, she was horrible. And she denied the resurrection. When you die, you just die. Well, some years after that, she was kidnapped, murdered, and dismembered by her business manager. And I think Madeleine Murray O'Hare believes in the resurrection now. And Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians, you're a fool to bet against the resurrection. There's a story that many years ago in Scotland, there was a famous atheist who was a great orator. And he got before this big crowd to preach atheism. I think the story goes, he held up a Bible and he said, "God, you know I don't believe in you or in this book. So prove to everyone that you're up there, God. Strike me dead." And he waited, and kind of people got nervous. And finally, after a few minutes, he looked and said, "See, there is no God." An old peasant woman put up her hand. "Sir, can I ask you a question?" "Yes." "Well, I'm not learned like you are. I'm not eloquent. But can I just ask? I've been a Christian my whole life. I have received much comfort knowing my sins are forgiven and that I have a home in heaven. If when I die I discover there's no God, there's no Jesus, there's no heaven, what will I have lost by believing in Jesus in my life on earth?" And he said, "Well, madam, I suppose you will have not lost nothing." "Well, thank you. Can I ask just one more question? Sir, if you die and you discover there is a God, there is a Jesus, there is a heaven and a hell, sir, what will you stand to lose?" And the story goes that the audience stood, applauded the woman, and the atheist sat down. You know, to bet against the resurrection of the dead is really, Paul says, a foolish thing to do. All right. Let's look at verse 42 about the resurrection. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown, your body, is perishable. What is raised, the new body, is imperishable. What is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Here's the next lesson about the resurrection. Our present bodies are perishable, dishonorable, weak, and physical. I thought of my dad. My dad was a big, strong football player. He played football for Notre Dame. And he became a football coach later in life. But then when he was 52 years old, he got a brain tumor. They gave him a year to live, and he just shrunk. And I remember looking down into his coffin, and big, strong dad was just so skinny. And I got a friend right now, who Christian man, who 4 months ago had a stroke. He can't talk. He's got tubes. It's so sad. And you know, we all just fade away because of the truth of this verse. Our present bodies are weak, perishable. But there's good news also. Look at the rest of verse 42. Let me read it again. What is sown is perishable, but it's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. Here's the next lesson. The new body is imperishable, glorious, powerful, and spiritual. I mean, someone wrote me an email recently and said, Pastor Brock, will my new body look like my old body? I sure hope not. And I wrote him and said, no, it won't. I mean, you won't be bald. You won't have pimples. You won't have lumbago. You won't have cancer. You won't have, you know, diabetes. Our new bodies are perfect. I mean, consider Jesus' resurrection body. After Jesus rose from the dead, he did things that his old body didn't do. He zipped in and out of rooms without opening the doors. So our new bodies will have powers that our old body didn't. Look at the next verse, 45. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that's Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. The first man, Adam, was of earth, a man of dust. The second man, Jesus, is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. We're all going to die. As is the man of heaven, Jesus, so also are those who are of heaven, believers. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, Adam, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven, Jesus. So here's the next lesson. The new Adam, Jesus, undoes what the old Adam did to us. The old Adam in the garden got us all sinful and damned. The new Adam, Jesus, gets us all forgiven and saved. Verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Here's the next lesson. Believers alive at the second coming will not die, but be changed. Like, chew. I mean, I've done a lot of funerals. What I say at funerals is this. There's only one way you get out of having a funeral. And that is if you happen to be alive at the second coming of Christ, then you don't die. You're just instantaneously changed into your new body. And the New Testament is written in Greek. The word for change there, atomos, or moment, is atomos, meaning that which cannot be cut or divided, the smallest conceivable quantity of time. In other words, momentarily, choo, you're changed into your new body. All right. So, let's ask one more question. What is the practical consequence of the resurrection of the dead? I mean, how does the truth of the second coming and the resurrection of the dead affect my life today? Well, the answer to that is Paul again in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. where he writes, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So here's the last lesson today. Don't quit. The reward is coming. Because we're going to be raised and rewarded, keep serving the Lord. I mean, I know a pastor who said to me recently, "We're trying to get Sunday school teachers this year." And what I hear is, "Well, I've already done that. Let somebody else do that." In other words, I quit. Don't quit. The resurrection is coming. I knew a 90-year-old organist at our church. Her name was Helen. And when she died, a 90-year-old Lutheran pastor preached the funeral. And he said, "Isn't it great that Helen never retired?" And he was right, because I used to visit Helen when she went into the nursing home. And she'd say, "Oh, Tom, the people here love it when I get to the lobby and I play on the piano the old hymns. And they say it so brightens their day." And Helen served the Lord right up to her last breath. I did a funeral this year for a 100-year-old woman, sweet Christian woman. And she says, "Pastor Tom, I don't know why I'm still here. All my friends are dead." And I would say to her, "I understand, but while you're breathing, God has a purpose for you. Serve the Lord till you die, because the reward is coming." And, you know, I'll close with this. You might have heard of Pastor John Piper. He is a kind of a famous preacher, and he's written a lot of books. I know John a little bit. He taught me Greek in college. So years ago, I went to hear him preach. And after the service, I'm standing in the narthex talking with John. And a guy comes up and interrupts us. And he says, "Pastor Piper, do you see that elderly couple over there?" "Yes." "Well, do you remember when you preached a sermon saying, when you retire, you shouldn't buy a Winnebago and vacation your life away? You should find something to do to serve the Lord in your golden years." John, he said, "Yeah, I remember that sermon." "Well, you see that couple? They had just bought a Winnebago. And then they heard your sermon. And they sold the Winnebago. And now they have a Christian pamphlet ministry giving out Christian literature." That's the point of all this. Christian, because you're going to be raised from the dead, don't quit. I mean, when you're dead, you can quit. But you're not dead yet. So keep serving the Lord, because one day you'll be resurrected and rewarded. All right, here's what we've learned. How will Christ return? He will return publicly, powerfully, personally, and unexpectedly. When he returns, all the dead will be raised imperishable. Therefore, keep serving the Lord, because your labor is not in vain. You are going to be resurrected and rewarded. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, will the damned be raised and given a new body?
Yeah, someone asked this just recently, and we just talked about the resurrection of the dead, talking about believers. Well, will unbelievers also be raised? And even the Old Testament teaches, yes. Daniel, the book of Daniel in the Old Testament says, there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. So everybody is raised. Now, this person who asked the question also asked, so do the unsaved also get a body in which they live for eternity in hell? Mm-hmm. And when Paul writes about the resurrection of the body in 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about believers being raised. As far as what happened, do the unbelievers get a body? My guess is some kind of body, because they'll be in existence in hell forever, so probably. But the New Testament mainly addresses the believer's resurrection.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just talked about rewards. But if we are saved by grace and not by our good deeds, how can there be any rewards?
We are saved by grace alone. Hallelujah. And I went to a conference where the preacher said, and I thought this was a great line, we are saved by grace alone.
Mm-hmm.
True. But grace never is alone.
Mm-hmm.
It always changes your life. So my good works will never save me. Only Christ on the cross and grace save me. But it does affect my life. Mm-hmm. And if you have no change of life, after you come to Christ, that shows you we're never saved by grace. Because grace always, to a degree, we still sin daily, but to a degree, grace changes your life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where are the dead Christians now? in heaven or waiting to be raised on Judgment Day?
Yeah, we've talked about this before on the show, and that's one of the most common questions I've received as a pastor, you know, at a funeral. Pastor Tom, is Grandma in heaven now, or is she sleeping till Judgment Day? And the Bible teaches two things. You do, it talks about Christians sleeping and being raised on the last day. But then you've also got Jesus saying to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Not 2,000 years from today, but today. And you have Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration talking to Jesus during his lifetime. So Moses and Elijah were not asleep. So the way I put it together, Grandma's spirit, if she was a Christian, is in heaven right now. But she doesn't have her perfect new resurrection body yet. That we get raised and joined to our spirits on the last day. So both are true. Yeah.
Okay. Can one be a Christian and deny that Jesus rose from the dead?
No. And I'm just, you know, Mona, I went to my church was closed one Sunday morning on a snowy morning because of the snowstorm. So I went to a liberal ELCA Lutheran church, and the pastor got up and preached on Romans 10:9. If you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Then the preacher said, but what if you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead? Does that mean you won't be saved? And he said, not necessarily. And I felt like screaming, yes, necessarily. Romans 10:9 says you have to believe in the resurrection of Christ to be saved. I mean, I remember when I was still, years ago, in the liberal ELCA Lutheran branch of Lutheranism, our bishop brought in an Episcopal professor to speak to all the pastors. The professor did not believe in the resurrection of Christ. I wrote the bishop, I said, do we want to spread false teaching? So if you don't believe in the resurrection, you can't be saved according to Romans 10:9. Makes no sense.
Read the word, right?
Yeah.
Will our new bodies be at all similar to our old bodies?
Well, yes and no. I mean, when Jesus rose from the dead, he still had the nail prints. And he said, Thomas, put your finger here and believe. On the other hand, he could do things he didn't do before, like zooming in and out of rooms without opening the doors. So there was some similarity to his old body, but he now has a new spiritual body. And he wasn't a ghost. Jesus said, touch and feel me, disciples, after the resurrection. A ghost doesn't have flesh and blood like it. And then he ate fish to prove, look, there is a spiritual body being raised here. It's a body still. But it was still different than the old one. So
we lack physical limitations after death?
I think so. I think our new resurrection body will be like Jesus' resurrection body.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it okay for a Christian to be cremated?
We get this question a lot, too. And all I'm going to say is the book of Revelation talks about the sea giving up the dead in it. So people who are buried at sea and they're obliviated, the sea is going to give up. Obliterated. The sea is going to give up the dead in it. So God will put everybody back together. If you get cremated, will God put you back together? Of course he will. The history of the church has not been in favor of cremation because we want to be a witness to the resurrection of the body. But I can't tell people it's a sin to get cremated because that would be going too far. But I'm not going to have it happen, I hope, to me.
It's just that today it's so much cheaper, I think.
I know. Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Will I recognize my loved ones in heaven?
The Bible says you will see Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven. And if I'm going to know, hey, there was Abraham, who I've never laid eyes on, I think I'll know, hey, there's Grandma. And Pastor Harold Salem, who was the, 99-year-old preacher on TV, he's still on TV even though he's dead, but I talked to him a few times, and he had a great sermon that I saw, and he said, well, do you think we'll be dumber in heaven than we are on earth? And if I knew that's Grandma on earth, don't you think I'll at least know that in heaven? I thought that was a good point.
I heard him say that, too. Will a baby who died at 6 months be 6 months old for eternity?
Or will Grandma be 90 for eternity? And I'm giving my opinion here. Again, some of this is not clearly spelled out. When you die, it talks about people dressed in white, waving palm branches, worshiping the Lord. So everybody, you know, I don't know that there'll be age in heaven because we're eternal. So I think everybody will have their perfect new body. I don't think anybody will be 90 or 6 months old for eternity because we're kind of in this new realm where I don't know how that works.
We'll wait and see, right?
Yeah.
Will we be married in heaven?
Jesus said, no, we will not be married in heaven. So you won't be married to your spouse in heaven. I think you'll know there was my Christian spouse, but you won't be married. Mm-hmm. And the reason we don't have marriage in heaven is because we don't have to populate heaven. Mm-hmm. Nobody dies. The reason we have marriage on earth is we keep dying. We have to repopulate the planet with children. In heaven, nobody dies, so we mm-hmm. don't need to repopulate.
Mm-hmm. True, true. What is the millennium?
Yeah, we're on our series on the second coming, and mm-hmm. we're not going to handle every single issue. But in Revelation chapter 20, it talks about when Jesus comes back, the dead are raised, and then Jesus reigns on earth for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Satan is let out of his pit and deceives the nation, and then comes the very end. And the question is, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, is that literally going to happen? And there's three views. I hope I got time to do. Mm-hmm. Amillennial means no millennium. And these are Christians that think, look, the book of Revelation is a vision. You don't press all the details in a vision. And we don't. And so they'd say it's symbolic of what's going to happen. There are people called the premillennialists who believe that the millennium happens before Christ returns.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't many of those left. That was more popular like in early American stuff. And they believe that for 1,000 years, Christ is reigning through the church, and then he comes back. And then there are postmillennialists, which means after Christ comes back, he sets up his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. And that it does look to me to be what Revelation 20 teaches, mm-hmm. but that's my opinion. Smarter Christians than I am are amillennialists and premillennialists. So this is another one of those issues where you have to hold it loosely and say, here's what I think I believe, here's what I think the Bible teaches, but this by no means affects someone's salvation, what you believe on these things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why aren't people married in heaven? You said to populate.
Okay, yeah, that kind of we answered that one because we don't need to replenish heaven.
Mm-hmm. You just kind of wonder if you had a relationship, you love someone a great deal, that maybe grandma and grandpa really wanted to be together. I remember reading a story where they said grandma and grandpa in heaven were on the porch, but who knows, right?
Well, they won't be married in heaven. I don't know, you know, will God let you sit next to your grandpa? I don't know, you know, but it, to me, that's the wonder of heaven.
Yes.
We're going to be in the presence of God.
Yes.
Praising God for eternity. I don't think I'm going to look for grandma too much, but there you go.
All right, one more. Yeah. Someone said, while you Christians are bored up in heaven, the rest of us will be having a great time in hell.
Yeah.
Your response to that one?
A friend of mine worked with Satan worshipers, and that's what they told her. And talk about being deceived. You mm-hmm. think you're going to have fun in hell? That just shows you how devil puts blinders on people's eyes.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for joining us today on the Pastor's Study. May you be blessed. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.